echoes of the Marshall Inquiry.
Well, under the Donald Marshall Inquiry, one of the recommendations was to develop a program that would help Aboriginal people in the court system.
You know, I really had to take my hat off to this, you know, kid that went from not, you know, identifying as Aboriginal in a session or circle in his previous case, and then coming, you know, full circle to discovering who he was, spending time with an elder and going to the sweat. So it was really a good success story.
Donald Marshall Jr. was a Mi'kmaq man wrongfully convicted of the murder of Sandy Seal in 1971 in Sydney, Nova Scotia. He spent 11 years in prison for murder, then was acquitted of all charges in 1983. However, grave oversights occurred during the initial Sydney police investigation, the trial, the RCMP review, the appeal process, the 1982 reinvestigation, the reference process, and at the Attorney General Department. The Royal Commission on the Donald Marshall Jr. Prosecution, a landmark report issued in 1989, found that the criminal justice system failed Donald Marshall Jr. at every turn. And this was due, in part, to the fact that Donald Marshall Jr. is a native. The report concluded with a series of recommendations to ensure that all levels of the criminal justice system, including police, attorneys, judicial bodies, and government, no longer fail to meet the minimum standards of justice for Mi'kmaq and African Nova Scotians. 20 years later, the CKDU News Collective explores the work of the Mi'kmaq Legal Support Network, MLSN, an organization formed to meet many of the policy recommendations as set out by the Marshall Inquiry. The following is an interview with Barry Bernard, communications officer, and Donna Gauvin, caseworker of MLSN. The music you hear was recorded at the Burnside Correctional Facility during an annual cultural celebration for inmates organized by MLSN.
Okay, as an Aboriginal agency, we have a different approach when it comes to dealing with community service hours. We have more freedom when it comes to dealing with CSOs. What I do in Cape Breton, I contact the family, the parents and the grandparents or whoever the guardians are, and we have a meeting before I get to meet to the client. Once we decide how we're going to work with this client, then we bring the client in. Usually it happens in the kitchen table. Usually I do home visits. A lot of non-native agencies don't have that flexibility where they can go in communities. As we are a native organization, we're very flexible. I do a lot of home visits with community service people, clients, and I get to meet with a lot of parents. And we sit down and figure out how this program is going to help the individual. A lot of the problems come from alcohol or drugs, and we kind of sit down and figure out what problems we're having beforehand. And due to residential school syndrome, we have a lot of parents that don't have parenting skills.
As a caseworker in the Halifax area, our office is located in the Friendship Center, Mi'kmaq Native Friendship Center on Gottesgen Street. So a lot of our resources and our placements are actually like in-house. Sometimes we look for placements outside the communities. We're very fortunate we have a program, the Seven Sparks program at the Friendship Center, and we have an elder that we're able to make connections with, and some of our youth have never participated in activities like traditional sweats. There's other areas in terms of like counseling that they're looking for addictions. We're able to find those resources as well. For women specifically too, we have the Women Are the Medicine program, which I've had some success with some of my placements. So we have our challenges, you know, in terms of accessing placements outside of the Friendship Center, but for the most part we use a lot of in-house resources. Very helpful.
So we kind of find out what kind of problems we had ahead of time, and we kind of figure how we're going to help this individual. A lot of them are looking for maintenance, yard work, spring cleaning, offices, computer work, special programs, crafts, traditional ceremonies. But there's some cases where I get to talk to the clients where they have interest in plumbing, carpentry, some skills that they'll They're like some trades they would like to get into. So I see if there's any local contractors that are willing to take community service order clients. And most of them would agree, especially in Aboriginal communities, they would take them in and would train them in carpentry, plumbing, whatever interest they have. So for us, it's very flexible when you work with them in Aboriginal communities. But in Halifax area, it's totally different, and Donna can tell you a little about her side of the story.
We get referrals from Crown, from Crown attorneys and from police, and also sometimes corrections, and we also get referrals through probation services in terms of CSO placements. We do a lot of different type of circles. We do Mi'kmaq justice circles, which are strictly for youth. We also do sentencing circles for adults. We do sentencing circles for youth as well, if the court is looking for recommendations for sentencing. We also do reintegration circles for members that are coming out of correctional facilities and looking to reintegrate back into their community. So we usually have a circle for that and bring in some resources and monitor the person with follow-up circles after the fact. We also do some healing circles. So there's various services that we offer.
A lot of times you have to be creative when it comes to community service hours. Sometimes what I do, I go around town, especially in Cape Breton, I go to Aboriginal businesses or nonprofit organizations, which there is not too plentiful in our area. And I get to see the employee or whoever's interested in taking one of our clients in to do or complete their hours. Most of the time, they all agree that they'll take a client in for so many hours, and the only agreement we have, as long as you give them water, eat, and transportation, take them home.
A few of the things that makes MLSN unique is that our services are province-wide, and it applies for both the Aboriginal persons, Mi'kmaq, and Aboriginal persons living on and off reserve. And we have 13 communities in Nova Scotia, but as I mentioned, we're on and off reserve, and we cover some fairly large territory. My territory, for example, is Halifax right down to Yarmouth, so one half of the province. And we have another customary law caseworker that covers like Indian Brook, Millbrook, and the rest of the province right up to Amherst. And then we have other caseworkers, two that are covering Cape Breton area. So there's certainly some uniqueness about MLSN, and we've been approached by different organizations to help train their caseworkers, or they may use different terminology, but I know that Paula has trained in PEI. They have circle keepers, I believe that's what it's called, and also assisted with training in El Sibuktuk with their restorative justice program. But their restorative justice program is specific for their community. It's not province-wide. So, yeah, we are pretty unique and pretty proud.
Right now, the Mi'kmaq Legal Support Network is trying to establish a new program called Mi'kmaq Translators or Interpreters. We're looking to see if we can train 12 interpreters in Nova Scotia for them to be working in the court system. We still have a problem where we have language barriers in courts where a lot of our clients still speak to Aboriginal language, and a lot of them have difficulty in understanding the court language. So right now, the Mi'kmaq Legal Support Network have developed a proposal, and in late September, we hope to start training 12 interpreters, court interpreters, for Mi'kmaq Legal Support Network. But still, we still have a lot of people going to court that don't understand the English language. That's why it's important for us to get these trainers trained and to be available in the court system in Nova Scotia.
So the court worker program is again part of Mi'kmaq Legal Support Network, and They're province-wide as well. We have four, currently we have four court workers that cover the province. We have Lorianne Julian, we have Ryan Tony, who is the senior court worker, we have Martine Drew, and we also have Francine Piero. And we have served over 1,200 clients province-wide.
It's growing every year.
So what the court workers basically do is they'll get a phone call from a person, they'll get a referral, there's somebody that's at court, and they go to court on a regular basis. So sometimes they're meeting their clients at court for the first time, sometimes it's a client who's calling from the correctional facility on remand and looking for some information. So they kind of direct them in the right direction in terms of filling out, assisting them with legal aid, making sure that they have legal aid, making sure that they understand A, their charge, and B, you know, what the process is. Sometimes it's just a matter of playing an interpretive role, breaking down the language in simple terms so that the accused understands what's being brought forth.
So one story I have where this kid was a regular person that would attend in court on maybe a month, every month, or anyway. I work hand in hand with a program in Chapel Island where I have young people that help out clean the island for St. Anne's Mission. So I told this kid that had 90 hours of community service that he worked with us at Chapel Island for that summer, and I told him, if you don't do anything wrong, if I don't see you in court, and if I know that you're doing good in school, you're making good grades, and you don't get any trouble, you know, doing drugs or alcohol. So anyway, at the end, I told him, once I find you, do all this stuff, and I'll give you a job for the summer months. That was this year. He came out, showed me his report card that he passed. I spoke to his grandmother that he hasn't done any drugs or alcohol. I spoke to his teacher. He hasn't missed a day in school. And for a fact, I know that he finished his probation order, and he finished his community service hours, and he turned around from 360. And at the end, I had to keep my promise, and I gave him a summer job with the Nova Scotia Youth Corps Commission, Corps. So that was one of the success stories I have with working with young people.
Well, the story that comes to my mind is of a youth who was referred to our agency, transferred from another non-Aboriginal agency, and my first encounter with working on the file was already underway with another agency, so I just kind of picked up and, you know, started meeting with the client, and he had just recently self-identified as Aboriginal. So that's kind of a common thing that I've been coming across with a lot of the youth that I've been working with throughout my area. So I started off working on one file with him, and that was already under time constraints, but we also had him for two other referrals, and it worked out really well. There was a few challenges along the way, but a really positive outcome. He was completed successful, took it to heart, some of the things that were, you know, said and spoken to him in the circle. So I think it was a good challenge for both of us to go through and, you know, get to the end result, and it was successful. And, you know, I had a really good rapport with his parent, and I really enjoyed working with him and his parent, and got to see, you know, a different side of him, and really saw him getting into his culture, and, you know, even more so than most youth. Like, he was going to sweats and, you know, telling me about his experience in the sweats, and, you know, I really had to take my hat off to this, you know, kid that went from not, you know, identifying as Aboriginal identifying as Aboriginal in a session or circle in his previous case, and then coming, you know, full circle to discovering who he was, spending time with an elder and going to the sweat. So it was really a good success story.
Echoes of the Marshall Inquiry was brought to you by Operation Wake Up on CKDU 88.1 FM in Halifax, Mondays to Fridays from 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. To check out this and other podcasts, go to news.ckdu.ca. My name is David Parker. Thank you to Barry Bernard and Donna Gove.
Thank you.